Welcome to the Richview Church Podcast. We want to journey with you in your next steps with Jesus. Ready? Let's go.
Hey, that was fantastic. Thank you, Sandy. Thank you, band. And thank you, everyone at home and in person. I hope you know this. Our services are open for people to come. And so you can register to come to any of our upcoming services. You can do that at richviewchurch.com/reopen. We would love to see you in person. And just on a short personal note, this past weekend, this church put on a shower for me and my wife, Laura, as we're expecting on November 16th. And I'm so very thankful for those who put that together and contributed towards that. We felt spoiled, blessed of God. So thank you. Thank you very much for all of you who are continuing to pray and for all of you who are helping us out in those ways. Well, it's the fall, and that means a lot of new things are happening in your life, I'm sure. If you've got kids, they're going off to school, and you're figuring out whether or not they're going online or in person, and that might be a reality that is changing very soon. And there's lots of new things going on at the church as well. And also, in this fall, we are starting off a new series called On Course. And the idea of this series is, well, it's been a long time since we've seen many of you. And some of the things that are in our lives can very often be prone to wander. Specific things, things that, you know, if we're not paying much attention to them, they tend to go off course. Things like prayer, things like our thought life, things like our finances, our relationships in the family. These kind of things, if we're not paying much attention to them, if we kind of relax on these things, they tend to wander, don't you? I know that's true of me. I'm prone to wander. And so this series is going to be talking about some of those specific things and get us back on course in many of those areas. So I'm looking forward to be challenged in many ways in this upcoming series. But this first sermon isn't really about one particular issue. This one is going to hopefully help us and resource us through the scriptures in all of the situations and circumstances of life that you that present themselves to you, whether it's you're having trouble at work, through your finances, your marriage, whatever it happens to be. I hope that the scripture this morning helps you in whatever area of life that you are being challenged in. So I've called this sermon, The Race of Faith and How to Win It. The Race of Faith and How to Win It. We want to, at the end of our lives, if we are believers in Christ, we want to, at the end of our lives, treasure Christ above all. Love Him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Obey Him. Believe Him. We want to finish the race of faith and finish strong. And if you were a runner, and if you wanted to win a gold medal, the first thing that you would have to do before you get into any training, before you do anything, the first thing that you would have to do is decide that the race is worth it. If you're half-hearted about the prize, you're going to be half-hearted in your preparation. You have to decide that the race is worth it. You've got to envision that gold medal and say, I am willing to give up whatever it takes to get that gold medal, to finish the race. Because if we don't commit to that, if we don't decide that, then we will make poor decisions about that race. And if we do poor preparation, we are not going to be able to win that race. A runner has to be able to decide, okay, do I want this plate of nachos? Or do I want something that's healthier and better for my race? And the answer always has to be, I want that healthier option. Am I going to relax this month or am I going to train hard? The option always has to be train hard. And for believers in Christ, we need to have that same attitude. We need to decide, first and foremost, that the race is worth winning. Have you made that decision? Have you decided in faith with Christ that you want to finish your life, live your life, loving Him, following Him, obeying Him, trusting Him? Have you made that decision that the race of faith is worth it? If you haven't, I want to introduce you to the gospel, to the good news. That's what gospel means. It just means good news. There is a God. There is a God who created all things. Everything you see, from the biggest to the smallest, God made it. He is all wise. He is all powerful. And He made everything for a purpose, and He made you and me for a purpose. And that purpose is to enjoy in, delight in, and worship and obey our God for His glory, for our good and God's glory. We follow him, worship him, and love him. That is our purpose. It's for our good and for his glory. But instead of doing what we are cosmically created to do, we go in a different direction. Instead of prizing and worshiping God above all else, we prize and worship those things that he will not have for us. We prize and worship the things of this world. We follow after sin instead of Christ. And for that, we all deserve hell, eternal separation from the love of God. Everyone, you at home, you in the activity room, me, the old lady down the street, the nice neighbor, whoever it is, all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have dishonored and marred the honor and worth of the Almighty God. All of us deserve hell. And that could have been the end of the story, but it's not. Because our God is so good. Instead of giving us what we deserve, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to take on our behalf what we deserve. When he went to that cross, he took all of the sin of the world upon himself so that those who will believe in him, trust in him, follow him, love him, and finish the race of faith with him will be saved. And the first question we need to answer is that race worth it? Is it worth it? Is it worth training for that race? I hope it is worth it for you as we look forward to an eternity with God, fulfilling our purpose finally, believing him, trusting him, and enjoying his glory forever. If you are committed to running that race, the scriptures are going to show us how we can run it best. We need to be trained, we need to be coached, and the Bible is going to help us do that. So I hope that you will follow me in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. That will be our passage today. And in this passage, the author of Hebrews is going to be using a race analogy to talk about faith. And we are going to learn what we need to know how to run the race of faith well. And we actually need some things that a regular runner would need. Three Fs. Here they are. Fitness, fortitude, and focus. Fitness, fortitude, and focus. Those are our three Fs. We're going to see that in our passage today. So let me just read this for you. Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3 says this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. What we're going to see, first of all, in this passage, is that we need spiritual fitness. Fitness. Now, what exactly is spiritual fitness? That's a great question, and I hope you're asking it. Because we know what fitness is for someone who's running an Olympic race, right? We know that fitness means, well, if you've got an extra 10 pounds around your waist, you're going to want to shed that if you're about to go into a 26-mile marathon. I mean, if you have that extra 10 pounds around, it's going to drag you down. So you get fit. And there are other ways that athletes get fit, too. I mean, if you're a skier, you want the equipment that is never going to drag you down. You want carbon fiber skis that have been polished every single day. You don't want wooden skis with, you know, splinters all coming out of them. You want the best equipment so that you won't get entangled, so that you'll be able to run the race as quickly as possible. So what is the equivalent of that for the race of faith? What do we need to throw off? What do we need to take away from ourselves such that we will be able to run the race most effectively? And the passage is going to tell us. This is what it says. Verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Now, let me first talk about the first half of that verse. In Hebrews chapter 11, the author of Hebrews was telling the story of many of the Old Testament heroes, many heroes of faith in the Old Testament who ran the race of faith and ran it well. And the author of Hebrews was pointing out these people to say to us and to encourage us, look at all of these people who had run the race well. Let us follow their example. Let's do what they did and run the race well ourselves. And one of the ways that we need to do that, like Moses, like Abraham, is to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. What a person who wants to run the race of faith needs to do is shed everything that entangles and the sin that so easily entangles. That's what spiritual fitness is, routing out and fighting the sin that is in each and every one of our hearts, the sin that so easily entangles. You see, running the race of faith with unrepentant sin, without fighting the sin in your life, without working off that sin in your life, that is the spiritual equivalent of trying to run a marathon wearing a coat of armor. You're just dragged down. You're weighed down. And anyone who is starting a race, a marathon, with a coat of armor on is not going to finish. Sin will drain you. Sin will hinder you. Sin will slow you down. And eventually, sin will catch up to you. It's deadly. Sin is deadly for the race of faith. And many of you might be thinking right now, well, okay, you know, all right, I know I'm not supposed to sin, but Jesus forgives me of sin, right? If I believe in Christ, I'm forgiven of sin. So I'm not really worried about, you know, sins that I continually go back to in my life. I'm not too concerned about that. I mean, I know in the end Jesus will forgive me and I'll still be in faith and it's going to be all good. And if that's your attitude towards sin, if that's the attitude towards sin that you continually do in your life, if that's your attitude, I got to tell you right now, you have no idea what you're up against. If you're cavalier about sin in that way, where you think, you know, I'm not too bothered, I'm just going to continue in my life of sin, I know Jesus is going to forgive me. If that's the way you think of sin, you don't have any idea what you're up against. You're up against your flesh, which wants nothing more than to grab every pleasure that's just nearby and completely forget Christ. You're up against the world who wants to draw you into its patterns and ignore the God of the universe. And you're up against the enemy. You're up against Satan, and he's way more powerful than you. You're not that good of a runner. You don't know what you are up against. If we're cavalier about the sin in our lives, it will drain us. It will take us out. So throw it off. Make the decision. Throw it off. Like that runner with that coat of armor, we need to decide to take it off so that we are unhindered for the race ahead. Throw it off. And this passage also tells us that there's something other than sin that can entangle us. Take a look at what it says earlier. It says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. So there is a wider category, everything that hinders, and then a more specific category, which is the sin that so easily entangles. So this passage is telling us that there are things other than sin which can slow us down in the race. What do you think those things might be? What do you think they might be in your life? It's not sin, not necessarily, but it keeps us distracted from the race at hand. What could that be? As a pastor, I hear often people coming to me and asking this question, and by the way, I ask this question a lot, so I'm with you on this one, but here's the question we often ask. We're about to do something, we're thinking about doing something, and our conscience pricks us, and we ask this question, is that a sin? Is that a sin? Getting that tattoo, is that a sin? Or thinking this way about that person, is that a sin? Or spending this many hours watching Netflix, Is that a sin? Is that a sin? And we're hoping that the answer is no, so that we're free to do it. Right? You've asked that question before. I know I have. But this passage here is telling us that we can ask an even better question. We often ask, hey, is this a sin? And if the answer is no, we're free to do it. But this passage is telling us that we can ask this question. Will this help me in the race of faith? And if the answer is yes, then we're free to do it. You see how that changes things? You see how that is a different way of looking at the question? It's kind of like this. You know, is it against the rules of a race to run with your shoelaces tied to each other? Is it against the rules? No. But if you wanted to win the race, why on earth would you do that? Why would you hinder yourself? If the race is really worth it, if you really want to run the race, if you really want to finish with faith, why would you do it? So throw it off. Make that mental decision to throw it off. And by the way, just making the decision doesn't make the sin just magically disappear. No. Just like that 10 pounds that is around your waist, we have to fight. We trust in Christ. We ask Him to help us. We ask His Spirit to work in us. And we throw it off. Throw those things off, those things that entangle, those things that hinder. And that's what spiritual fitness is, throwing it off, getting rid of all of those internal things that are getting in the way of the race of faith. So that's spiritual fitness. But here's the next thing that this passage is going to teach us. We need spiritual fortitude. Fortitude, perseverance, endurance. We need spiritual fortitude. This is what the passage says right here in the second half of verse 1. It says, "And let us run with perseverance, with fortitude, with endurance. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." The scripture is telling us that we should expect external things to come up against us, and we are going to need to have the fortitude to overcome them. And we know what that looks like when someone is running a race. I don't know if you've ever done cross country, but I have, in the distant past. And I know what it feels like when you're coming up against a wall. Your legs are just screaming at you to stop. Every moment of your run, your legs are just sending electrochemical signals to your brain that say, stop, 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 this hurts too much. And what fortitude and perseverance looks like is your brain telling your legs, keep those pistons pumping. Keep those pistons pumping. That's fortitude, being able to overcome whatever comes when you are running that race. Now, in the race of faith, we don't necessarily have lactic acid telling us to stop, but the Bible tells us to expect pushback. There are things that we are going to be running up against in the race of faith. We're going to be running up against temptation, trials sent by God to shape us. We'll be running up against hate and derision from our peers, persecution even. And if we know anything from church history, and I'm not sure why history couldn't repeat itself, many will even die for their faith in Christ. The Bible tells us to expect that. And the Bible tells us to persevere, to have fortitude, to have endurance when those things come up against us. We should expect it. Why? Because, if you're not feeling lactic acid in your legs right now, it's probably because you aren't running a race. It's probably because you aren't on the track. And if you've gone through your Christian life so far and you've just never felt any pushback, it's never been difficult for you. You've never run into anything. No one's ever really disliked the way that you look at faith. It's just never happened. Here's a question for you. Are you on the track? Are you running the race of faith? Are you doing it in all of circumstances of life, not just Sunday mornings or wherever, whenever you meet, but at work, at school, at play, wherever? Are you running the race of faith? Because the Bible tells us to expect pushback in those areas all the time. You know, when I was doing cross country, I must have been 10 or 11 years old. In Ontario schools, you're allowed to do cross country, and I was doing a 3-kilometer race, and I was, that seems like a really long race when I was a kid. And I do remember, lining up for that race every time and thinking, this time, I'm just never going to slow down, right? I felt good. I was at the starting line. I felt good. I felt fit. I was ready. And I thought, you know what? 3 kilometers, a 15-minute race. I can just run the whole thing flat out. And I would start. And I would run flat out. But inevitably, about 150 meters in, inevitably, I'd slow down. And the next time, I'd line up at that race again, and I would do the same thing. I'd think, this time, I think I can do it. I feel fresh. I feel good. And then when the pain in your legs start to speak to your brain, you slow right down. Here's my point. It is easy to overestimate your fortitude when you're not in the race. It is easy to overestimate how much you can handle when you have not handled any pushback before. So the question we have to ask is, are we going to crumble when we get significant pushback? When sin offers us comfort or inclusion, are we just going to crumble? Or are we going to have the fortitude that Christ wants for us to overcome
that pushback. Because I got to tell you, there's no reason to expect that we will be able to run the race to death if we're not going to run the race today. In the small things. In the little interactions. Are you going to stand up for your faith? Are you going to share your faith when you get the opportunity? Are you going to resist sin when it presents itself to you? Do you have the fortitude that you need to run the race of faith? And I want to just encourage you just a bit here. This passage tells us here that we need to run the race with perseverance, the race marked out for us. And all of us have the same race, really. We want to get to the end of our lives with faith in Christ, full-hearted, wholehearted belief in Him, trust in Him, loving Him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength above all else. That's what we want. But there are differences in all of our races. Some people are 100 meters ahead in their race, and we get discouraged because, well, they're ahead of us. And sometimes we can be unduly encouraged because we're looking at someone else in the race of faith, and they're 100 meters behind us. But I've got to encourage you, run your race. You've got your own gifts. You've got your own abilities. You've got your own circumstances. That's a race for you. You don't need to win other people's races. Don't play the comparison game. That's their race. You run yours. You know, Olympians, they win the race by beating other people, right? They need to be first, and everyone who's behind them, that's a good thing. But the race of faith is not like that at all. The way you win the race of faith is by finishing. And you're just hoping as many people as possible finish with you. So we don't need to play the comparison game. We just run our own race and encourage others to run their race, regardless of whether or not they're in front of you or behind you. They might be doing a pole vault while you're just doing the high jump, and that's okay. Free yourself from needing to win the race of others. God has a race marked out for you. You focus on that. So we need spiritual fitness. We need spiritual fortitude for the pushback that is bound to happen. But I got to tell you, both of those things are going to be useless to you unless you have this third thing. And I would say this is the most important of the three. We need spiritual focus. Focus. For a runner, I mean, if you've got all the training in the world, but you don't have the right focus, if you're not running towards the right finish line, it doesn't matter how much fortitude you have. It does not matter how much fitness you have. You're going in the wrong direction. You're not going to win. You see, a champion is someone who imagines hoisting that trophy, imagines all that it will take to go for that one aim, and then successfully does it. That's a champion. They had the right focus. And we need the right focus as well. But what do we need to focus on in our race of faith? And this passage is going to tell us the answer to that as well. What should we focus on? This is what the verse says. Verses 2 and 3, but I'll start a little earlier. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. How are we going to run that race? How are we going to have perseverance? By fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. And then verse 3. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. This verse tells us that we need to fix our eyes on Jesus, consider Jesus, focus on Jesus. Why? Because of two things. One, he's the pioneer of faith. He was the one who ran the race of faith first and did it perfectly. He's the model. He's the example of faith. And Jesus was truly God and he was truly man. So we can rightly look at Jesus and say, how did he overcome temptation? How did he overcome trials? How did he overcome pushback? What did Jesus do? He is the example, the perfect example. So we focus our eyes on him. If you wanted to be a great basketball player, what would you study? I mean, you might study the net. You might just stare at the net and make sure you know the dimensions of it. But that'll only get you so far. You could study the rule book. But again, that's only going to get you so far. What you should do is study LeBron James. He's the pioneer of great basketball playing. And in the same way, we should fix our eyes on Jesus, who's the model of race winning. But you know, fixing our eyes on Jesus is even greater than fixing your eyes on LeBron is for basketball playing, and here's why. Not only is Jesus the pioneer of our faith, but he is the perfecter of faith. He is not just the model of faith, He makes faith in us. He gives us what we need to have faith. He perfects faith in us. He molds us. He shapes us. He gives us the fuel we need by the Holy Spirit in order to focus on the right things, in order to overcome the obstacles that are ahead, and in order to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. It's not just that Jesus is ahead of us leading the way, but Jesus is in us making the way. That's Jesus. He's the pioneer and perfecter of faith. And there are many people in the church right now, and in this church and churches around the world, who are trying to follow Jesus' example without being fueled by Jesus' Spirit. And that's a dangerous place to be, because you'll never be able to do it. If you don't have Jesus' Spirit inside you, working through you, changing you, shaping you, molding you, you will not be able to follow Jesus' example. It will be frustration, just frustration. And I hope over these next few weeks, as we give you biblical directives as to how Christ would have us live our lives in certain ways, I hope that you always remember that we're never asking you to do any of these things on your own strength alone. Everything that we ask from Scripture for you to do, everything that we show you from Scripture, we're saying, do this through the power of the Holy Spirit, because that's the only way to do it. There's no other way. Using our own strength, we will not be able to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. But by the power of Jesus' Spirit in us, all things are possible with God. So we fix our eyes on Jesus. He is the pioneer of faith, and he is the perfecter of faith. But here's another thing that we should keep in mind. I mean, if our eyes are fixed on Jesus, it would be appropriate for us to ask, what did Jesus fix his eyes on? Because again, he was truly man and truly God. And while Jesus was on this earth, while he was doing his earthly ministry 2,000 years ago, he never played the God card. He was a man. He was tempted like we are. He had trials like we do. And so it's appropriate for us to ask, what did Jesus focus on to get him through life so that he would finish the race of faith and finish it well? Because Jesus went up against things that you and I will never go up against. I mean, there was the physical cross, right? He was put on a cross. He knew he was going to be crucified. He had the nails through his palm. He had the crown of thorns on his head. He was whipped. He was beaten. And he was hung on a tree. I mean, he went through all that. But that's just the physical end of the cross. There was also the spiritual cross. Because when Jesus went to that cross, he just took on the entire weight of sin from every person who ever committed sin for all time, and he did it all at once. He took on the wrath of God for all sin, for all time, all at once. What was Jesus fixing his eyes upon that allowed him the strength to be able to finish that race of faith? And here's what it is. And we need to have this focus as well. This passage says it in the second half of verse 2. It says this: for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Do you see it? Do you see what he set his eyes on? Do you see what he set his eyes on as he went up the hill of Calvary towards the cross, where he was going to go through incredible physical pain and immeasurable spiritual pain? Do you know what he focused his eyes on? Do you see it? He focused his eyes on joy in the presence of God. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. It was for the joy in the presence of God at the right hand of the throne of God. It was for joy. Listen, there is a joy, friends, there is a joy so great, so perfect, so satisfying, so lasting, so eternal. There is a joy so wonderful, so beautiful, that there is nothing that you can go through in this life that would not make it worth it. There is a joy that complete, and it is the joy found in the very presence of God. That's where our focus needs to be, on eternal life with God, for joy at God's right hand forevermore. That's what we focus our eyes on, for the joy set before us. And if our desire, if our focus for the joy found in God is weak, we will not have the strength we need to have the physical fitness and fortitude we need to finish the race of faith. We need to ask God every day, God, give me a passion for the glory of God. Give me a passion for the joy set before me in your presence. Lord, help me to see the joy found in you today so that it will give me what I need to run the race of faith and run it well. That's where we need to set our eyes, not on the things of this world, but on the eternal glory found in the presence of God. That is our focus. Fix your eyes on Christ as your example, as the pioneer and perfecter of faith. And let us also set our eyes upon what he set his eyes upon, the joy found in God, offered to anyone who will believe in and trust in Christ as their Savior. That's what we need, friends, to run this race of faith. We need focus. We need fitness. We need fortitude. That's what we need. And many of you right now might be thinking, you know what? I'm not going to be able to run this race. I mean, I've got this weak little faith now. I don't know if I can keep going. I just don't know if I can do it. And I want to encourage you with these closing words. The only way to lose the race of faith is to stop running. If you're a believer in Christ, the only way that you will fail this race is if you stop running, if you stop fighting the sin, if you stop loving your God, if you stop believing in him. So keep on fighting, keep on running with the fitness and the fortitude that God gives us by his Spirit. Keep the fight. If you think it's inevitable that you will lose faith in Christ, that you're just not going to make it, there is more power found in God than you know. And if you think it's impossible for you to lose faith, regardless of the sin that is rampant in your life, then you don't know what you're up against. And you need to turn to Christ and ask that his Holy Spirit would change your mind, change your heart, and would give you a great focus for the joy found in Christ. Over the next several weeks, we will be getting on course in many different areas of our lives, but I hope through all of these weeks, you'll remember this, that we need to keep our eyes fixed upon Christ, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, who will help us to get rid of those things that entangle, the sin and everything that hinders, with a focus on the joy and the glory of God forevermore. Amen. Let me pray as we conclude the service with a song. Oh, Heavenly Father, oh God, give us this joy. Give us this expectation of joy. Give us this focus on joy. Lord, would you have our hearts hunger for your presence, hunger for you? Will your Spirit infect us, Lord, and change us? Would your Spirit be infectious to others, Lord? And would we, God, be able to, with your strength, with your power, run this race of faith, throwing off everything that entangles? Oh God, give us what we need, we pray, by the power of Christ, by the power of his Spirit. Give us what we need to run this race of faith and run it well to the end. Lord, be with us, I pray. In Christ's name, amen.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged in today's podcast. Check us out at richviewchurch.com, Facebook, or Twitter at Richview Toronto. But you know what? We're not an online church, so we hope that you'll come visit our church in person. We'd love to get to know you.